This is Jay Sekulow. Department of Justice official Bruce Orr appears before the House of Representatives. Who does he implicate next?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
If you remember Lois Lerner, who appeared to be a career professional, but when you actually looked into it, you found a partisan operative. Bruce Orr clearly is the same thing.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Well, we want him to confirm what we already know from hard evidence, that he and his wife were part of a conspiracy to, in fact, create this narrative of involvement and wrongdoing by the president relative to the Russians.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Before we start, let me extend our thoughts and prayers to the family of the late Senator John McCain from Arizona. Worked with John McCain for a long time on a lot of issues. Sometimes you disagree, sometimes you agree, but you can't question his service to the country, especially his military service to the country as well. So we do want to extend our thoughts and prayers to the McCain family. I do want to start with, on this Monday, there's going to be testimony tomorrow, closed doors, behind the scenes, so to speak, before the House Oversight Committee, and that will be regarding Department of Justice official Bruce Orr. Now, we're going to get into the particulars on Bruce Orr, and we're going to go through the questions that should be asked, but Bruce Orr has been at the center of this controversy regarding this whole probe that's gone on, an inquiry regarding Russia. He was the one who helped orchestrate or at least coordinated the production of the Steele dossier with his wife, Nellie Orr, who was working for Fusion GPS. So let's start with some background information here. I'll let Jordan do that on Bruce Orr.
Yeah, so Bruce Orr was an assistant deputy attorney general, and so fourth ranking at the Department of Justice, very high up. He was very close with Sally Yates, who was the deputy attorney general, was for short term acting attorney general of the United States. He remained in his position even after she was fired for insubordination on the travel ban issue, which now has been vindicated by the courts, that the president was right, Sally Yates was ultimately wrong.
Right.
But he stayed around to head up an entire division, a drug enforcement division, an organized crime division. So he remained in the number four position until it came to light his involvement in this drama with his wife also working for Fusion GPS and passing along information, including a flash drive. So he was first demoted. They took away his title, the assistant deputy attorney general title, and then ultimately they have taken away his director position as the head of a division at DOJ. But he is still in the criminal division, as last reported, at the Department of Justice, still has his job.
So this is what happened. Orr's role as a conduit between Steele and the FBI continued for months and resulted in multiple FBI interviews. According to Orr's then-supervisor, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, Orr worked on the Russia probe without his permission and without his knowledge. But by the way, ask yourself, why is he still employed by the Department of Justice? I mean, that's a question you'd ask yourself. You're doing work on files you're not assigned to, and the Deputy Attorney General of the United States doesn't know you're doing it, and you're still employed by DOJ. I mean, go explain that one. And, Fan, go explain that one to the House Oversight Committee.
I think that's going to be one of the primary questions to him. And in addition to what you said, Jay, that interaction with Christopher Steele, that happened after the FBI terminated him as a source. So not only did he work on files that he wasn't supposed to be working on, he worked with sources that were supposed to have been terminated and, in fact, were terminated. That'll be one of the questions asked. Jay, there's going to be a pile of questions asked, but here's the primary question I have. Will he actually answer any of them? There will be a lot of questions posed. Will he answer questions substantively? We don't know the answer to that yet.
Remember, I truly do believe that Bruce Orr was used by Peter Strzok and the FBI, and that's why we need to go through the questions, but and the FBI more generally, to utilize Christopher Steele continuing after he was, quote, terminated. And remember, he came to Bruce Orr to say, hey, get me on the Mueller team. He actually asked to be hired by the Mueller team. We don't know, and that's part of the questions too, how much contact Bruce Orr negotiated for Christopher Steele to have with Bob Mueller's special counsel team. That has not been answered by the special counsel. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air about this. It happens tomorrow. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So Bruce Orr to testify tomorrow before the House Oversight Committee. Trey Gowdy said that he promises that they will get, quote, to the bottom of what he did, why he did it, and who he did it in concert with. Do we have that soundbite? We do. Let's listen to it.
We're going to be back and we're going to interview Bruce Orr, not in a public circus setting, but in a deposition with no time limits. And we're going to get to the bottom of what he did, why he did it, who he did it in concert with, whether he had the permission of the supervisors at the Department of Justice.
All right, so let me break this down for you. Get to the bottom of what he did. So the first thing that has to be determined here on regarding Bruce Orr is what did he actually do? What did he authorize? What communication did he actually have? That's where you start this.
Yeah, that's right. So who are you talking to outside of the government? So we know, Bruce, that you spoke with your wife, Nellie Orr, who was getting paid to work on the dossier by the Democrat National Committee and Hillary Clinton that because she worked for Fusion GPS. We know that you met with Christopher Steele because you documented it and that you were in communication directly with Christopher Steele, even about Steele joining the Mueller team, and with Glenn Simpson, his boss at Fusion GPS. But who else, if anyone, provided you with information on Russia or Trump? Who else provided these individuals at Fusion GPS? What do you know, Bruce, about the dossier being put together? How involved were you? What individuals were at stake? Did they get paid? Did they communicate via telephone, email? How did this all start? Basically, the why and where of how this got started.
Well, the one that why he did it. I mean, to me, that fan is the question one here. First of all, you got to figure out the facts of what he did. But why did you do this, Bruce? What was it that was your motivating factor? Were you ordered to do this by an official at the Department of Justice? Did you take this on your own? Why did you do this? Paint a picture of what it's going to look like in that room tomorrow.
Well, the answer to that question, Jay, is one of two things. Either one, it was a personal agenda, or he worked in concert with others inside the department. That's why the question, you rightly said it, it needs to be the first thing that they get to the bottom of, because if he worked in concert with others inside of the department, we need to know who they were. And if he did not work with others in the department, Jay, then it was clearly a personal political agenda that he was after. I think Trey Gowdy is correct about one thing. The setting tomorrow inside the House Oversight Committee behind closed doors doors. It is an environment in which you can get to the bottom of some of these answers because it's not in front of a camera. It's not time limited. You can do follow-up. It's more like a prosecutorial deposition. But, Jay, I have a real concern here. Look, we don't know if Bruce Orr is going to answer questions or not. So I would just say to Chairman Gowdy, if he's not forthcoming, if he does not answer questions, we need to know that from the chairman because we need answers to these questions, and we'll see tomorrow, hopefully, some of them. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll come before or he won't answer many questions. Well, we're going to have to see.
It may take his Fifth Amendment privileges, but we'll see. Who he did it in concert with, that's another big one here. In other words, who else within the Department of Justice or maybe within special counsel's office, we don't know, who else he was involved with?
Yeah, I mean, so you want to know outside the government? You want to know inside the Department of Justice, as you just explained, why did you do this? Were you being directed? Did you hide it from anybody? But then with the special counsel, because it was brought up in the text messages between him and Christopher Steele, we know Christopher Steele wanted to reestablish a relationship with Bob Mueller. He wanted to be paid. He wanted money to be on the Mueller team. There has been no answer. We talked to John Solomon from The Hill on this. The special counsel's team, so far as we know, has not answered whether or not there was any communication with Christopher Steele or with Bruce Orr on behalf of Christopher Steele and the special counsel's team. And specifically, if there was, who at the special counsel investigation did Orr communicate concerning Russia, Trump, Steele, Simpson, Fusion GPS, or the other actors implicated in Spygate? When and where and what did they discuss? Why, again, who worked within the FBI or other agencies to reestablish Steele as a source? And who knew of these efforts? So Bruce Orr was asked to do it. We don't know how far he took it. We don't know. We do know that Peter Strzok knew that Bruce Orr was working with continuing to work with Christopher Steele and passing information. So we do know that the head of counterintelligence was at the FBI was getting info Steele from Christopher Steele. The question is, who else was trying to reestablish Steele after he gets fired from the
FBI?
So
that's a serious question. Then you want to know whether he had the permission of the supervisor at the Department of Justice. Now, early reports indicated that Rod Rosenstein, who he reported to as the deputy attorney general, because he was Orr was the number four at the Department of Justice, was not aware that he was working on this. So that is another line of inquiry here. Who within the Department of Justice hierarchy, and why were you hiding it? Knew, and if they didn't know, why were you hiding it from them?
Yeah, one of the most important questions. I mean, think about the timeline here, Jay. First of all, Christopher Steele leaked the dossier to the press. Then Christopher Steele was terminated as a source. Bruce Orr ignored that and went around the order. Or did he ignore it, Jay? Were his superiors aware of it? You know, you certainly, with the atmospherics and the actions of Sally Yates, have to wonder if she was aware of it. I think probably it's a natural assumption to assume she was, given the way that she behaved. We don't know that for a fact. You have to ask the question about Rod Rosenstein and others inside the department. Jay, I really think, I mean, the fact that Bruce Orr still has a job here, there's a few rationales, but the one that makes the most sense to me, other people knew Jay, so it's consequential to them if Bruce Orr loses his job for engaging in this activity, if they knew about it too.
That's what I said in the opening of the program. Who else will be implicated here? All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We want your reaction to all this. Testimony is going to be tomorrow. So again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones.
Josie in New Jersey online. Line 4. Josie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Josie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, you did state that he certainly can use his Fifth Amendment privilege, but I wondered, since he's actively employed in the government, would he use, wouldn't it be a strong possibility that he could use the Mr. Strzok?
The investigative, in other words, saying there's an ongoing investigation, I'm not going to answer the question.
We're under investigation. This is something I'm not given permission to.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him. Look, I'm not his lawyer, obviously, might be a conflict of interest, I think, to be his lawyer. I'm not going to give him legal advice. I'll tell you this, though. I'm sure his lawyers are thinking about every possible reason they could give to not answer the question, whether it's a Fifth Amendment privilege, whether he says these are matters currently under investigation. I know the Inspector General, from what we understand, is investigating him. But I think the House Oversight Committee really has a right to know what went on here. And while some of the matters may be too sensitive, they'll know how to ask the questions. For instance, you've got the whole non-governmental actors question. And we'll get into a little bit more of that in the next segment. But what that means is you've got people inside DOJ, as Jordan just talked about, and people outside. Was it just Christopher Steele? How did the Fusion GPS contract come to light? Who told Fusion GPS about Christopher Steele? Bruce Orr, what communications did you or the new wife, Nellie, have with Fusion GPS prior to her going to work for Fusion GPS? So there's a whole host of questions that they could ask that are not part, I would not think would fit within the part of a ongoing investigation. But you asked a very, very good question. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's try to grab one more, I think, we can before the break.
Mickey in Utah, on line one. Mickey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mickey, go ahead.
Hi there.
Yep.
My question is, that never seems to be asked, but how do we know that the judges that approved these FICA warrants, how do we know that they weren't correct? How do we know that they weren't in?
Well, I'm not going to assume a member of the federal court was corrupt. I'm an officer of the court, would never say that. I question what the FISA judge's material that was presented before them. I don't know that. I haven't seen that information. But that goes to the whole thing of the declassifying some of these FISA warrant issues because, and again, there's a process for that. It's not just 1, 2, 3. But, it begs the question, as you said, and that's not anything that, I'm not talking anything out of school here. I mean, people have been wondering about what is actually in that. So, again, I think these are things, all of these have to be asked. We're going to get into the non-governmental actors situation when we come back from the break. But, I mean, I want to put people inside that we're not going to see it. We'll be able to give you some analysis probably by Wednesday. But what does the room look like when people walk into this?
Well, it looks much like a committee hearing room, except there aren't cameras in the room, Jay, and it won't be as formal as what you've come to see on TV. There won't be time limits as far as each member asking questions. It'll be a little bit more free-willing. You'll probably see the chairman, Trey Gowdy, do more of the questioning, probably more in a deposition form than you would be used to in an open session. He'll be able to interrupt the witness. The witness could interject, assuming that the members let him. It will be a back and forth between Republicans and Democrats, assuming Democrats participate in a robust manner, and some of these they have not, Jay. But then I think that what we will have our first indication of how it went is when it wraps up, what do we hear from the members? Did they get substantive answers? Was Bruce Orr forthcoming? Did he give real information? Was he honest about his wife's participation? And maybe most importantly, Jay, what does he tell the committee behind closed doors about who inside knew about his arrangement with Christopher Steele, knew about his wife Nellie's participation with Fusion GPS? Jay, I don't know whether he will be forthcoming or not, but tomorrow would be the best opportunity for him to be so if he's inclined to provide information to the committee.
All right, we're going to talk about, when we come back from the break, non-governmental actors, the Department of Justice, what impact it has on the special counsel, the FBI, other agencies of the Obama administration, and possible involvement of foreign governments. We've got a lot to cover on today's broadcast. We're also taking your calls. If you want to let you know how you can participate, we encourage you to do that.
1-800-684-3110. We are taking a lot of calls today. What should be asked to Bruce Orr? If you had an opportunity to get a question in, what would you ask Bruce Orr about the Steele dossier and his involvement with Christopher Steele, Glenn Simpson, and his wife's involvement? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
one 800 684 3110 is the number if you want to talk to us on air. 800-681-3110. Yeah. What'd I say?
1-800-684-3110.
I was reading something as
you
I was.
Said one. And you threw an extra one in there.
I threw an extra one.
1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air.
Harry Hutchinson just joined us. So you got a series of questions. We went through the non-governmental actors question. That was, you know, conversations he had with Fusion GPS, potential questions he might have had with with Nellie, or although there'll be privileges there because there's a spousal privilege, he may be able to not testify as to that. Who else he spoke to at Fusion GPS? Conversations with Christopher Steele. Those are the non-governmental actors that we know of, but as Jordan said, there may be others. Harry, what do you want to see out of these hearings?
Well, among other things, I want to know whether someone at the FBI directed and oversaw Orr's involvement in the Russia probe. Keep in mind that Bruce Orr was not...
said he did not. He did not authorize it.
Precisely, except maybe there was someone else at the FBI. Keep in mind that Bruce Orr was never a counterintelligence official at the Justice Department. So he had no official counterintelligence role, yet he maintained contacts with Christopher Steele. It's also possible that the government launched its investigation in the so-called Russia probe much earlier than they officially admit. And maybe Bruce Orr was involved in that. Also, were State Department officials involved in some of this Russia investigation as well? Those are real questions that need to be answered.
So on the Department of Justice level, the Oversight Committee should ask or to reveal the names of every individual within the DOJ who knew he had contacts with the Steele and Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS about the Russian investigation. They should also ask which DOJ officials knew that Nellie, or that's his wife, worked for Fusion, was involved in investigating Trump. What did those individuals know? When did they know it? Who assigned Orr to the Russia probe and when? Was Rosenstein truthful when he testified that he did not know Orr was involved in the Russia investigation? Did Orr intentionally conceal his involvement from the Deputy Attorney General of the United States? That is a big question right there. You had his immediate supervisor, Deputy Attorney General, was in charge of that office, said he did not know that Bruce Orr was involved in that. What does that mean? How did that happen? Who did know? That's what's inside the Department of Justice.
Yeah, so you've got the outside questions, the inside questions, the special counsel questions as well, because we know that through those text messages, and we've reported on this extensively, that Christopher Steele kept coming back to Bruce Orr. Peter Strzok knew about it, so we do know that Peter Strzok was the kind of using Bruce Orr as a conduit to continue to get this information to the FBI. But we also know that Christopher Steele was bent on getting a relationship renewed with Bob Mueller. He wanted to sit down with Bob Mueller or someone with his team, and we don't know.
We're going to get to that next.
If he spoke to people, so Bruce Orr will be asked that. Did you speak to people on the special counsel team, even about establishing an open line of communication with Christopher Steele?
So I want to. In the second half hour of the broadcast, I'm going to get into that, the impact that this might have with the special counsel's office. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Michael in Ohio, online 3. Michael, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hey, great.
Hey, I got. I think it's really important that this in this congressional hearing, when they talk to Bruce Orr, in light of the email chains that have been released in the last couple of weeks, in his email chain with Steele and Adam Waldman, who is our guy that they're talking about? They need to ask him that directly. Is it Oleg Deripaska? If it is, that's collusion with Russians right there. Is it Julian Assange? Because Adam Waldman represents both of them. Who is our guy?
Well, look, I don't know who our guy is, and I don't know what the reference exactly is. And I think the message from Steele to Orr said this: we cannot allow our guy to be forced to go back home. That's what it says.
Sounds like a Russian oligarch.
Yeah. So it sounds like some oligarch that Simpson or Lee Simpson was talking to. But again, then, this is the reason why you do these things under a deposition format and not so much with TV cameras, although we'll be analyzing it for the next several days, obviously.
Well, such a great caller, Jay, because, yes, I mean, it gets directly to the heart of what you've been saying, that the who is really the question, both on the inside and the outside. There are a lot of those generic exchanges in the emails that the committee is going to need to drill down on and get real answers from Bruce Orr. I agree with Jordan on that particular exchange. It sounds like somebody on the outside, they need to know who that is. But on the inside, Jay, I mean, if Bruce Orr testifies that he was operating inside the chain of command, then we need to know who else inside the chain of command was okay with continuing to use Christopher Steele, even though he'd leaked to the press and been terminated. And by the way, on the flip side of that same coin, if nobody was aware, if he was truly going rogue, then I think the committee needs to ask him, if you were going rogue and operating outside of the chain of command, then how in the world do you still have a job inside the Bureau? I mean, if you're going to go outside the chain of command, yep, that is clear grounds for dismissal.
No question. What do you think about that, Harry?
Well, I think Than is precisely correct. But one of the issues which I would add on to Than's comments is the fact that the FBI interviewed Bruce Orr countless times, and we now have 302 interview forms, and we need to know who within the FBI compiled those forms. And was, for instance, Sally Yates briefed? She signed at least one, if not two, of the FISA applications. Yep. So there are so many questions that we need answers to.
Let's go ahead and go right back to our phones. We're taking a lot of your calls today, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, the Bruce Orr testimony will be behind closed doors tomorrow, but we're giving you an analysis of what we think will be relevant. Obviously, information will come out, and we will continue to update you on it.
Jerry's calling in from Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team.
Hey.
A couple of callers ago, that lady mentioned the judge, and it just made me remember you wanted to know why the FISA judge recused. Is that yep. part of a separate investigation and is not part of this? Or
I don't know if it's even part of an investigation at all, but you're talking about the FISA judge that recused himself in the Flynn sentencing. So when it came down to the sentencing of General Flynn, evidently what we think happened was that judge recuses himself because he was a FISA judge, we think. That's the so sure. I mean, all of that needs to – all of this – spectrum of irregularities, and that's being very kind on this Monday to call it that. Spectrum of irregularities need to be evaluated and determined. And that's what I think is going to happen here. So we've talked to you about the DOJ involvement. For instance, what information did Orr share within the Department of Justice concerning the Russian probe or the president of the United States? May have been the Republican nominee or ultimately the president-elect. When we come back from the break, I want to get into Bruce Orr and the special counsel's office, the FBI, other agencies, and involvement potentially of foreign governments, and then the launching of Crossfire Hurricane, which was the counterintelligence matter. Great Rolling Stones tune that our band is learning right now, because I figured Jumpin' Jack Flash, good time to learn that one. All right, we'll also take more calls at 1-800. Was that Dan laughing as I see off-site there when I said Jumpin' Jack Flash? Because I can see
no
him in our cameras.
At all, Jay.
Okay, there you go. No, yeah, always. All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge as well as we go into the second half hour of the
broadcast. That matching challenge is at aclj.org. It's whatever you're able to donate to the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Your donation is doubled. So a $10 donation is like becomes 20 for the ACLJ, 20 becomes 40. You can do the math. It's at aclj.org. Very simple. You'll see a donate button. Part of our monthly matching challenge, go to aclj.org and double your support for the work of the American Center for Law and Justice online at aclj.org. When we come back, more of your questions. Second half hour coming up, 1-800-684-3110. We'll get into those special counsel questions that Bruce Orr should be asked about. 1-800-684-3110. Oh, yeah, Christopher Steele used him to get to Mueller.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
A really great article in the Federalist Magazine. Here are the questions Bruce Orr needs to answer in his testimony before Congress. This was written by Margaret Cleveland, and she did a really great job on this piece. I will tell you this. So Bruce Orr is scheduled to testify tomorrow before the House Oversight Committee. It's going to be behind closed doors, meaning that it's going to be in a deposition format, so we're not going to see it on TV. Trey Gowdy said he wants to do it this way because he wants to get the key information. Here's what he said. Take a listen.
We're going to be back, and we're going to interview Bruce Orr, not in a public circus setting, but in a deposition with no time limits, and we're going to get to the bottom of what he did, why he did it, who he did it in concert with, whether he had the permission of the supervisors at the Department of Justice.
So here's what we know. What Gowdy said is, we want to get to the bottom of this, what he did, why he did it, who he did it with, whether he had the permission of supervisors of justice. Now, what the it is working on the Steele dossier against written up on the president. Now, Bruce Orr's wife, Nellie, went to work for Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS was retained by the DNC to put together the Steele dossier. In his former position, he was an associate deputy attorney general under acting attorney general for a while, Sally Yates. Orr began feeding the FBI information from Christopher Steele, the former British spy who put together the unverified and salacious dossier. Steele continued providing the information to the FBI through Orr after the FBI had officially cut him off as a source. Want to ask why that happened? Because that's inexplicable. They ordered him to stop gathering intel. He still did it. Steele had leaked the investigation to the press and was fired by the FBI. But let me say this again. Bruce Orr was providing information. So Steele was providing information to the FBI through Orr after the FBI had officially cut him off as a source and ordered him to stop gathering intel, and then Steele leaked the information about the investigation to the press.
Yeah, I mean, so this is, again,
as dirty as it gets.
As dirty as it gets, and a lot of questions that must be answered. And I think that what we get into also is the special counsel is not left out here. The special counsel was brought up by Christopher Steele to Bruce Orr. They asked to talk about him. And these were WhatsApp messages that were ultimately intercepted when this investigation began between Bruce Orr and Christopher Steele. And he said, get me to Mueller. You know, and I think we can pull the exact ones, maybe Will, but he said, basically, I think I need to get to Mueller. Could you reestablish a connection there? I really want to get back to work. Now, some of that may be economically motivated, but here's what we want to know. Did Bruce Orr, he doesn't tell us in the WhatsApp messages. They pick it up offline. They go online by phone to discuss. Did Bruce Orr discuss this with anybody on the special counsel's team? Should he pick up the phone and call any of the special counsel teams, people he would have known there, lawyers, former DOJ officials, and ask about setting up anything with Christopher Steele, even informally? Did he set up a meeting or a phone call with Christopher Steele and someone on the special counsel's team? Remember, the kind of people that were on the special counsel's team who may have been open to things like this, like Peter Strzok.
Well, let me ask you
this. I mean, remember, there were these actors there that were doing things that ultimately got themselves removed from the special counsel's team. There could certainly have been others. And so these are simple yes or no questions.
Yeah, I mean, if you answer the question, with whom did Bruce Orr have contact in Bob Mueller's office, if anybody? Did Orr communicate concerning the Russia situation, Trump, Steele, Simpson, Fusion, or any other actors implicated in this whole thing? When they did it, where they did it, and why they discussed it? Who worked with the FBI and other agencies to reestablish Steele as a source? And who knew of these efforts? But I think you do have a right to know what communications Bruce Orr had with the Office of Special Counsel. Harry?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we want answers to is the question, how far did Steele go in reinserting himself in the special counsel's investigation? Clearly, we know that he had contact with Peter Strzok, who was a member of the special counsel's investigation. So we need to follow that up with questions to Bruce Orr, who is Steele's conduit to the Justice Department and the FBI.
What do you expect the tenor to be within the committee, Dan?
Chilly, I would say. I think that's a good word for it. I don't think they'll give him a lot of room. And Jay, I think his reception then will depend on whether or not he's cooperative with them.
All right, we'll find out soon enough. All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge. We're going to be back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So, Bruce Orr and the special counsel's office. Jordan, give us a little background first, and then there's some questions I would ask.
Okay, so ultimately, you know, Christopher Steele gets terminated by the FBI, his relationship. He loses his contract, and it's for cause. It's because he was
How much
leaking.
Was that contract worth? Do we know?
I don't know if we know the exact amount, but I mean, this was a monetary relationship, not just something he was passing along information for free, because he was no longer in the MI6. He was now an outside consultant. So he gets terminated. He continues his relationship with Bruce Orr, Nellie Orr, Glenn Simpson, and Peter Strzok uses that to continue getting information from Christopher Steele through Bruce Orr.
Yep.
So that's a connection there. But then in an exchange of WhatsApp messages, and did we pull those WhatsApp messages? So we'll pull those now. In a WhatsApp, now WhatsApp, for people that don't know, it's like an encrypted communication system. It encrypts from outsiders, but if the government seizes your phone and the messages are there, the messages are there. It doesn't save you from that. So he asked specifically, on those messages, can you, Bruce, get me into Bob Mueller's office? I would like to work with Mueller. I would like to provide information to Mueller. Will's providing this information to me now so we can read it on air. Exactly. I mean, it's a very direct request. Yeah, you can run it in. Very direct request. These are, again, this is back in the summer, July of 2017. Hi, Bruce. Hope you're well and getting some holiday with the family. Whenever convenient, I would like a chat. There's a lot going on, and we are frustrated with how long this re-engagement. Now, notice he says we are frustrated with how long. So that's a question right there. Who is we there? Who is we that are frustrated? Not just Christopher Steele, but we are frustrated with how long this re-engagement. By the way, he talks as if this is happening. You know, like people at the FBI and DOJ are okaying this. How long this re-engagement with the Bureau and Mueller is taking. Anything you could do to accelerate the process would be much appreciated. There are some new perishable operational opportunities which we do not want to miss out on. Best to all, Chris. Bruce Orr writes back just less than an hour later. Chris, good to hear from you. Would tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. DC time work for you? Thanks. By phone.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that there. One, there's a lot going on, and quote, we are frustrated with how long the re-engagement with the Bureau. So I would want to know, Than, who that we is. I mean, is the we Fusion GPS? Is the we the Russian oligarch? But he also says it in a way that, like, this re-engagement was planned. And so he invokes, I mean, he writes Mueller here, brings Mueller right into this issue for Congress now to have to question about.
Well, I would say a couple of things, Jordan. First of all, we need to know who the we is, but it sounds to me like Christopher Steele is used to working with Bruce Orr in a way that is circumventing, shall we say, the policies and procedures of the department or the bureau. I mean, I would ask this question. Can you imagine being a high-ranking official like Bruce Orr, and Christopher Steele has been terminated as a viable source for the FBI? So he's not allowed to be a source for the department for which you work, and yet you find it appropriate to refer him to another federal investigation to be used as a source or at least some participant in the investigation. Jordan, how inappropriate that could that be? I mean, if Christopher Steele is not a viable source for your department, why would you think it permissible to refer him to another investigation to be used as a viable source? And a reminder, just a quick reminder for our listeners here, why was Christopher Steele no longer a viable source for the FBI? It was because he had leaked the investigation to the press, which is one of the most sacred violations you can possibly do. That will get you terminated as a source every time. But in this situation, it looks like Bruce Orr still felt it okay to pass him along to other federal investigations.
But you got to ask yourself this question. I mean, in looking at all of this, I mean, here you've got the FBI involved, the Department of Justice involved, Harry, non-governmental actors involved, and the special counsel's office involved. And we're not done yet.
And we have State Department officials who are involved. So it suggests that there was indeed collusion within the government. And Bruce Orr is one of the leading actors. Did he lie, for instance, to his superiors? Or alternatively, did he serve as a conduit for information to individuals like Sally Yates, Rod Rosenstein, and did he serve as an indirect contact with the special counsel's office, which leads to the following observation that it's very possible that much of the special counsel's investigation is the fruit of a poisonous tree.
Now, which is something we've been arguing about since the beginning. Then we have the FBI. Gowdy's team should also ask Bruce Orr on the FBI's use of him in gathering the Steele intel and demand or reveal the name of every individual within the FBI who knew that Orr had contacted Steele, Simpson, and other sources involved in the Russian investigation. In other words, who else within the Federal Bureau of Investigation were you working with while you were Department of Justice a senior official?
Yeah, because there's some happenstance here, like, the Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr met with Christopher Steele the day before Peter Strzok opens Crossfire Hurricane,
which we're going to talk to in a minute.
I mean, so I just, all of this needs to, so getting to how many people at the FBI, who knew about this, what was going on here. We really, this is too few people to put this much going, you're right? I mean, that's the point.
Yeah, I'm going to ask, well, I want Jumping Jack Flash as the one of our break songs here. I'm going to give you a little interesting insight. I'm sure this is coincidental. So the counterintelligence investigation, I'm sure all my friends in the media that are listening to this are going to say a new conspiracy theory. But I just thought about this the other day as a musician. So Crossfire Hurricane is the name given to the counterintelligence investigation here. That is a tune by the Rolling Stones. Jumping Jack Flash is the tune. I was born on Crossfire Hurricane. They name it Crossfire Hurricane. What is the theme song that President Trump, then the candidate Trump, used during his run for the presidency? Well, it was another tune by the Rolling Stones called You Can't Always Get With You What You Want. I'm not sure they're on the same album, although I'd like to check. But they're both Rolling Stone tunes. So, I mean, the irony that the investigation is called Crossfire Hurricane while he's running for president, and every event the president, the Republican nominee, or sometimes just candidate, was going to, just happens to have in it another Rolling Stones tune. So there's the Rolling Stones conspiracy of all this. So I just wanted to add that for fun on a Monday morning. But you mentioned the situation with foreign governments, because here's another aspect of this, and that is the Russians. We know were involved, and the Russian sources were involved in this, and others. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Sure.
And we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Christina in Nevada on line 4. Christina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Christina.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I was just wondering what the motivation would be for Bruce Orr to say anything, because he's committed so many crimes, it seems like he would just bury himself if he said anything.
Well, I'm not accusing anybody of crimes. It's irregular conduct. It may well be violations of rules, regulations, and criminality, but you have to prove that. But why would he? You're asking is what is his motivation to even talk? I don't know exactly if he's going to talk. I mean, a lot of these guys, you saw that with Peter Strzok, they come in with the smug attitude, Harry, and they think they're just smarter than everybody else in the room.
Or we also have the example of Lois Lerner. Yep. So it's very, very possible that we have a huge buildup, but we may not necessarily have much substance emerging from tomorrow's conversation with Congress. We don't know if Bruce Orr is going to be a forthcoming witness. He certainly has not been a forthcoming operator at the Department of Justice. Apparently, he lied to superiors. And so then the question becomes, even if he were prepared to testify, would he testify truthfully?
So one of the questions that this again in this great Federalist article, Steele's work as a confidential human informant, given the meeting between Steele and Orr on July 30th, 2016, and Steele's request earlier that month to chat with Orr about their, quote, favorite business tycoon, the House committee should also question Orr on any role he played in the Russian investigation prior to Steele's termination as an FBI informant. Did Steele share information with Orr that Orr conveyed to the FBI? What was that information? Did they get information that they conveyed to the Office of Special Counsel? Because that would also raise another issue. Talking about fruit of the poisonous tree. Did Orr suggest avenues of investigation for Steele to pursue or to share details of an FBI investigation with Steele or his wife, Nellie? Remember, Nellie Orr worked for Fusion GPS on this project. Did Steele keep Orr afterwards apprised of his investigation, where he was going, what he was doing, with whom he was talking? Did Orr encourage or approve these lines of inquiry? Did anyone else within government know? So that's where you have that one. We've got one more segment of broadcast to come up, and we haven't even scratched the surface. There's still many more things that need to go over here. We may bring this conversation into tomorrow because there is a lot to cover. We're taking a break. We're coming back. We'll take your calls in the last segment, 1-800-684-3110. What did Bruce Orr know? What information did he give to the special counsel's office, if any? What information did he share with other government agencies? There's a lot to discuss here. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
1-800-684-3110 to get your calls, your questions in. I mean, with all of this that you're hearing, what do you want answered? What do you believe needs to be answered tomorrow at this hearing? 1-800-684-3110. I mean, I don't think they could do this in one hearing, though it is different than what you're used to seeing on TV. You can cover a lot of information in hours-long hearing when you're not having members of Congress and sometimes the person being interviewed kind of playing to cameras, if you will. 1-800-684-3110. What would you ask Bruce Orr tomorrow? 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition. calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Crossfire Hurricane, that was the name of the... Our band's working on that one right now, just for fun. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, Orly calling in from Israel on line 6. Orly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Gotta love Facebook, that you get callers from all over the world. We've had them calling in from everywhere. All right, Orly, go ahead.
How are you, Jay?
Good.
So good to be on your show.
Thanks for calling.
First of all, I want to spend with America and the loss of Senator McCain. He was a beloved senator. He was a leader that we all appreciate and took a lesson from him. So I honor him. And
he was very pro. He was very good about Israel, very pro-Israel. That was one thing. People have policy disagreements with this and that, but on an Israel issue, he was a stalwart, no question. Go ahead, though.
As I say, he was just. You know, to be in Israel, it's a just cause. It's something that everybody should understand. And at the end of the day, it's biblical. Israel is there for a reason.
Yep.
But let me give you a perspective from our direction. Looking at you and America and the investigation on Donald Trump and all the colluding, it seems like you guys are missing the other part of the game, because in the end of the election, we had an investigation into Hillary Clinton just a week before, and then it vanished. And then we start investigating Donald Trump. I want to know, what happened to that investigation? Because at the end of the day, if the FBI thought that a week before the election they should start one, it means that there was a reason. And Mr., you know, the FBI knew that there is something wrong with her race and everything, and they are covering because...
So here's what happened. So there's a U.S. attorney in Utah that's supposedly evaluating all of this. Regard to the irregularities that led up to the 2016 investigation, including some of the matters involving Secretary Clinton. Having said that, we have said that there needs to be investigators looking at the investigators. I mean, I propose, which I back what Lindsey Graham's saying, about a special counsel on all of these irregularities outside the Department of Justice, so somebody can come in and look at this and figure out what in the world happened here. Because you can go through, and believe me, we will be going through all... Buckle your seatbelts. Stay tuned. We will be going through those irregularities in the days and weeks and months ahead. But there have been many. And I think you need a special counsel in there to figure out what took place.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's too much. For one, it's I didn't really like Jeff Sessions' decision. I think a lot of people have been saying that about a lot of decisions lately, including some senators. But to put a U.S. attorney in Utah, nothing against him. In charge
of... No, it just needed somebody outside someone outside the government.
But the truth is, that's still a U.S. attorney inside the Department of Justice. The people he's got to pass the information to are ultimately DOJ officials. So, yeah, they may not be main justice, but that's as close as you can get to main justice, being a U.S. attorney from in the field. So I really do believe so much wrongdoing. It needs to look into the FBI. It needs to look into the DOJ. Not just a handful of attorneys, not just one division. And it's too much work for one U.S. attorney's office. I think they got other work to do, other crimes to pursue. Let someone focus in on this for a year.
Yep.
Let them do it. It doesn't need to take our attention like the Mueller thing. It's not going to be nearly as interesting. It's going to be a lot more about getting to the facts of getting to the corruption and wrongdoing at DOJ. So I don't think it's going to be a real big distraction for America.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think Orly's call highlights several things. First, that the FBI was led by James Comey. We all know now, whether you are a Democrat or a Republican, that James Comey was consumed with one thing, his own reputation. And he was quite willing to interfere in elections when it suited his personal purposes. Second, we should note that there is deep state resistance to President Trump. And that resistance was prepared to bury the irregularities in the Clinton investigation, which are legion.
So then, which begs the question then, I mean, I think this is the question on everybody's mind, is what actually does happen here? I mean, you're going to have this hearing tomorrow, and then what?
Well, Jay, I think it's the proper setting for the hearing for now. I would add that very important caveat. I think we don't know the answer to what happens after that until we see how cooperative Bruce Orr is. Look, if he comes before the committee and refuses to answer all of these questions that you've laid out, all of which I think are very viable. I mean, for instance, let's just go with one of the scenarios you put out, that he claims a spousal privilege and won't talk about his wife Nellie Orr's work.
Well, he hasn't done that yet, but he might. I mean, his lawyers might.
If he does, though, Jay, that would be highly problematic, because while he may be able to invoke that privilege, the Federal Bureau of Investigation used the work product of his wife. So one way or another, there has to be some accountability there. So if he comes before the committee behind closed doors and uses that excuse or any other, quite frankly, whether he pleads the Fifth or any others, then frankly, I think it needs to go public. I think he would need to come before the American people, be willing to stand behind that rationale in public. If he is forthcoming, we may not have that public hearing, but I think we have to wait to answer that question till we see what we get tomorrow.
Yep. I'm giving you a lot of information on this broadcast. We haven't even scratched the surface, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's going to be a lot more on this tomorrow. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, Jamie in Oklahoma online too. Jamie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jamie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hey. I've been sitting here listening, and this has been eating at me for a few weeks. Whenever President Obama, days before he went out of office, he signed the extended surveillance.
You're right. By executive order, increased it from like 4 to 16 or 18. Yep.
16 or 18. Okay. So if this was so important, I don't know if you could explain it or whiteboard it, but if this was so important, why didn't he sign it in 2009 or 10 when he was in office?
Listen, Jamie, you're asking the perfect question that we're, I see that and a monitor smiling here. This is the question I've said the whole time. I think this was executed on, January 8th? I mean, January 8th, and he was coming out of office in 2.5 weeks. So for 98 years, this was fine to have only this limited access to this highly classified information, unmasked material. Then all of a sudden, 16 days before he's going out of office, oh, I know what, let's change it so that 18 agencies now have access to it. There's never been a good explanation for that. You want to know why? There never will be a good explanation for that. We're doing on this broadcast is pointing out the facts and laying out the case.
And this gets that next level of person down. The Bruce Orr type is not probably on a first-name basis with the President of the United States. Maybe be in some meetings with the President of the United States as number four at DOJ, but is obviously working more closely with the Attorney General of the United States and the Deputy Attorney General. That being said, you see how influential they can be. I mean, that it's not just the ones and two. It's not just the Susan Rices of the world. It's the deputy of the deputy of the deputy, who is still the number four at Department of Justice, that can really shape how investigations get launched, who gets information, how the information is utilized. And of course, in this situation, he had a wife benefiting from it and providing the information, the Democrat Party paying for it in Hillary Clinton's campaign, and Christopher Steele, even after the election, still trying to get his job back. But this time he says, maybe not just with the FBI, I'd like to work for Bob Mueller.
We're going to talk more about that we'll talk more about that on the broadcast tomorrow. Harry, give me like a 15-second closeout here. How serious is all this?
It's very, very serious. I think the foundations of our democracy are at risk unless we fully expose all of the details.
All right, that does it for the broadcast today, and we encourage you to stay engaged with us on all of our social media platforms. But Jordan's going to also let you know we're in the last few days of our matching challenge campaign, so your support makes a huge, huge difference.
All right, folks. You go to ACLJ.org. You will see a button, Donate Now. You'll see the matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled for the Americans for Law and Justice. So as I know, as we're going into kind of the last holidays, people are beginning the year back to school. Again, go to ACLJ.org. Donate now, and your donation will be doubled. That's ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.